The most important question I'm going to ask you, Kathleen, is it Levy or Lavy?
It's Levy. Thanks for asking.
I go pretty deep, don't I?
Very.
You know, and I've been saying Lavy for a while, and of course, Brittany, my wise producer, says, no, Tony, it's Levy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How's your daughter? I've enjoyed the stories that you've written about being a mom from the first moment that you got her and through the years. How's she doing?
Actually there are two daughters now, and both of them are doing great. And I cannot believe that my oldest one is about to turn 11.
Oh my goodness.
She's in fifth grade, playing the flute, having a great life.
Wow.
And my younger one is 8 and a half, and she is fanatical soccer player.
Well, I've got a 9 and 7 year old, but I don't have to worry about boys in miniskirts. So I have fun with that.
You know, that is, yeah, I think girls are a little tougher maybe.
Well, Kathleen, how long have you been at the Lansing State Journal now?
You know, over 20 years.
You've been in so many capacities. I would imagine that doing the different things you've done, from entertainment to the editorial board to your reporting, must be kind of fun.
It is fun. I tell people that in 22 years, I have been stressed and I've been tired, but I've never been bored one time.
Well, let's talk about an interesting piece that you wrote about Eastern High School. I know a lot about that school because I worked there for 5 years. I have an affinity toward that school. I believe it's the Mid-Michigan area's oldest high school. I was told stories that way back in the day, people would travel all around to go to high school at Eastern.
You know, and I think that that's true. Eastern has a very long and rich history, and at one time had well over 2,000 students. And Eastern has a lot of alumni who are very, and literally 5 generations of alumni, who are very devoted to the school.
And I think they need to do more. There are a lot of business owners, business leaders that, from what I've heard, would like to be more involved with the school. I think that the school is trying to do that. Your article titled "We're an Improving School" focuses on Eastern. Are they really improving? Are they making strides? They were one of two schools, including Waverly Middle School, that had some academic challenges. Tell me why you decided to write this piece and what you learned.
Well, you know, kind of, I have been to a lot of different high schools in the area, and I think that when I wrote 5 stories in a row that said Eastern is a quote-unquote failing school, and I started feeling bad about that and thinking, is this, what kind of a rap is this? Is this fair? Is this a bum rap? And how do people perceive Eastern if we keep calling Eastern a failing school? You know, are the students all going around, are they even showing up? Are they all going around saying, oh, man, we really hate school? And I said, you know, I bet if we go into Eastern, we're going to find out that there are the usual range of kids, from high achievers to people who are in danger of dropping out, and that we're going to find people who are kind of working hard and some who aren't working so hard. And so I said, well, let's see if we can get into Eastern and see what it's really like. And the school district, to its credit, gave us very good access to Eastern for me and for our photographer and 2 videographers as well. So.
Well, what I learned initially, and I wanted to say this to be fair, in the 5th paragraph of your story states, graduating even one more student in June would have rescued Eastern from what has become a dreaded label. It is, for the 7th year, a failing school under federal No Child Left Behind rules. After an all-out effort to improve, Eastern met academic goals but missed its graduation target by 0.25 percentage point. So if one more kid would have graduated, we wouldn't be talking about Eastern, at least on the front of No Child Left Behind.
And that's true. And as you're aware, you know, Eastern is one of 3 high schools in Lansing, and both Sexton and Everett High Schools have managed to make the 2nd year in a row of having met the standards for No Child Left Behind. They were failing for 5 years, and Eastern last year. It was also kind of a technicality that they did not make it. Their academic, they are on target academically, but last year not enough students sat for the test that determines academic achievement, and they missed that by a small percentage point as well.
We're talking with Kathleen Levy from Lansing, the Lansing State Journal. She wrote a great piece about Eastern High School. Now, the first thing that stuck out to me, Kathleen, was the diversity not only in the student population, but in the academic programs.
That's absolutely true. About 16% of Eastern's kids are from other countries. They're learning English as a second language, but there are many programs in place to help them achieve, and they do. They have met their target goals. Academically, Eastern is home to the district's International Baccalaureate Program, which is a long way of saying, here's a super tough curriculum that will prepare you to go to college anywhere in the world. And I also spoke with a mom who is attending parent-teacher conferences, and her son is a senior at Eastern and used the Schools of Choice program to come into the Lansing district from Waverly because he is gifted, and the Lansing School District has more opportunities for gifted students.
Well, when talking about that baccalaureate program, that is part of Eastern's magnet program. And it's so impressive to look at the details about that magnet program. They're even teaching Chinese. Wow, what a cool program.
Yeah, it's true. And the magnet program in the lower grades teaches Chinese. In future years, they are hoping and expecting to change to kind of phase out German classes at Eastern and phase Chinese in along with Spanish and French. That is a really good academic opportunity. The International Baccalaureate Program starts at Post Oak Elementary for the younger kids and then moves into Pattengill Middle School and then to Eastern. So theoretically, future students will be able to take this program for all 13 years of their education and be really good critical thinkers and very well prepared to compete on a global level when they're finished.
Well, Kathleen, I think one of the challenges that the Lansing School District has, especially if you look at their high schools, and I know because I've been in them, I believe that the people who were running this school district over the last 50 years failed to plan for the future. When you look at the infrastructure for those three high schools, they probably need to be replaced. The funding's not there. They do the best they can, but that's a huge challenge for them.
You know, it is a challenge, and that is kind of that's sort of a two-sided issue because there was a task force about a year and a half ago that was led by former Mayor David Hollister, and that particular task force kind of looked at the district's building needs, and they suggested building a new high school and going down to two high schools, and this was not met very well. Neither the community nor the school board were very enthusiastic about that proposal, and part of that had to do with paying for new schools in this economy, but part of it also had to do with the fact that people are so devoted to the schools that they have, and so that is a tough one because especially with enrollment dwindling around the state and in urban schools as well. Lansing has three high schools right now, but Sexton is down below 900 students right now, and there is really a legitimate question as to whether Lansing is going to need three high schools in the future and what those high schools should be like.
You know, Kathleen, I know that they turned Hill, a former high school, into the building that it is to help kids with technical training, but I thought that they made a mistake. They had a cool high school. It was the newest in the Lansing Schools District. I know travel-wise, it's so far on the south side, but I think that they should have made that one of their new high schools and changed, whether it be Everett or Sexton or Eastern into the program that Hill now houses.
You know, and that is just one of those things that is very open for debate, and I think you can make a good case for that because it's a newer facility than some of the old ones. But for locations, certainly Eastern and Sexton cannot be beat because they're very accessible. And you know, both Eastern and Sexton have some architectural details that you would never be able to afford if you attempted to build them today. And I thought it was interesting, too, because some of the kids I was talking to were among the first group of students to attend the new Pattengill, which you may recall replaced a building that was built in 1920 and really had a lot of physical defects. And I asked them how they liked being the first class at the new Pattengill, which is a very beautiful school. And they said, you know, we kind of liked the old school. It was cozy.
It's 7:26. You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Lansing State Journal writer Kathleen Levy. Probably the most critical part of your story that you left for towards the end, Kathleen, was parental involvement. Having worked at that school, I can tell you there are a lot of kids with my same background. They come from single-parent homes, not a lot of money, no fathers in the house. That can be very challenging. At the time that I was at Eastern, and that was probably more than 10 years ago, there was a large segment of the population of these kids, and especially these male kids that had no male role models. Their grades were just in horrible shape, so they couldn't play sports or even think about college. That's a huge challenge for Eastern, and I would guess all Lansing high schools.
Well, you know, and that is part of the socioeconomic challenge that Lansing faces, that some of the suburban districts do not face. And I think that the district is really, this has been an issue for some time, and it is documented that Eastern has a low parent involvement. And one of the things that the district is doing with its plan to turn Eastern around is creating something they call an advisory hour every day, where they have the same students with the same teacher. And basically, it's like they're saying, okay, if the parents aren't going to do this, we're going to do this. And this teacher is responsible for making sure that the students assigned to him or her, this advisory hour, they say, okay, do you have everything you need to do your homework tonight? Are you prepared for this class? How come you didn't do X and such for this class yesterday? You know, it's kind of an attempt to try to keep them on track. And the other thing that they're trying to do is to get more parents involved, and they've worked on different types of outreach for parents, but that's a tough issue.
And it will be interesting to see how the online learning helps students who have gotten behind in their academics.
Now, I've seen that program in action at Sexton High School, and I must say that I was pretty impressed. Kids were focused. They were working. There was not a lot of horsing around, and they were, you know, having good interaction with the teachers. So I do think that is a hopeful aspect of the program. And I know the school board had a tough time passing that and agreeing to that plan, but I think that in the end, also allowing kids to catch up like that will boost the graduation rate, which could solve Eastern's problem entirely.
Kathleen, we've had the teachers union Jerry Swartz from the teachers union on quite a few times. Superintendent T.C. Wallace has been on this program too. I know that they have their challenges, especially financially, but I get the sense that they're really trying to work hard to help Eastern and all the schools here in the city.
You know, I would agree with that. I think Dr. Wallace, you know, he takes a lot of hits from critics, and I think a lot of that is not justified. You know, he came in here with a goal of improving academic achievement. It has worked in the lower grades. It has worked at Sexton and Everett. And except for a couple technicalities, it has worked at Eastern.
And then finally, before we let you go, I got about 30 seconds in today's paper. You wrote about early childhood. I keep hearing from many in academia that early childhood learning is so critical. We need to spend more money with that. And you wrote a piece on that today.
Yep, this is a huge new issue, and we're going to be reading a lot more about that in the years to come. The idea being that those birth to 5 years are very critical for establishing kids to become good learners in the future.
All right, Kathleen, thanks so much for your time. Look forward to chatting with you again.
All right, thanks, Tony.